Welcome to Zion Teacher Series. Today's teacher is Dr. Brian J. Bailey. Dr. Bailey is an internationally known Bible teacher and prolific author of over 35 books, which have been translated into more than 15 languages. In his 50-year ministry, he has traveled to over 100 countries, ministering at churches, Bible schools, pastors' conferences, leadership seminars, television, and radio. Dr. Bailey is currently the president of Zion Fellowship International and senior pastor of Zion Chapel, both of which are located in Waverly, New York, on top of Glory Hill. He is also the president of Zion Ministerial Institute and Zion University, which have over 30 Bible colleges around the world. In today's edition of Zion Teacher Series, we will look at the second book of our trilogy on the end times, the Book of Daniel. Dr. Bailey will illuminate the mysteries of the dreams and visions Daniel had and show us how we can relate to them to today. We will also see the wonderful testimony of Daniel's faithfulness in the midst of the heathen nation of Babylon. So join with us now as we open our hearts to what the Lord wants to speak to us about the book of Daniel.
Coming again into the book of Daniel, and we saw last week that in Daniel chapter 5 there was an account of the fall of Babylon. But in the last verse of that chapter, we were told that Darius the king had taken the kingdom. And then, coming into chapter 6, we are told that Darius set over the kingdom 120 princes, and then we are told that Daniel was one of the three presidents, and he was the first president. Now, the point that I want to bring out here is very important indeed, that this break in the book of Daniel signifies a truth that carries over unto the last days, because the fall of Babylon ushers in a new era. It ushers in, historically, the era of the Persian Empire, but also that number 120 tells us something more, because this number occurs whenever a dispensation changes in the history of the world. We find that number 120 first occurring in the days of Noah, when God, after 120 years of suffering, the violence and the immorality and the sinfulness of the people in Noah's days, he ordered Noah to build an ark, and then the flood came. A new dispensation entered in. We find it again, 120 is mentioned in the building of the tabernacle, 120 vessels, and there again, a new dispensation of the law entered in with Moses. We find 120 also mentioned in the time of the building of the Temple of Solomon, when 120 priests blew the trumpet in unison. And looking into the New Testament, we find that there were 120 in the upper room when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the early disciples, thus terminating the age of the law and bringing in the age of the church. So this 120 that we're looking at in Daniel signifies a break between the Babylonian Empire and the Persian Empire. And we will be looking at that more deeply in the succeeding chapters. But the point that I want to bring out here is important. After the fall of Babylon, there comes in a new dispensation. And remembering that this is a type of that which will be indeed enacted during the last days. I don't know how many of you remember the Gulf War in 1992, but during that time there was much mention of the Hebrew prophets and the fact that they had prophesied the fall of Babylon. Babylon, of course, is a city in the country of Iraq at the moment. And Babylon occurs in the book of Revelation during the last days, because it will also be the seat and city of the Antichrist. And the point that I want to make is this, that after the fall of Babylon, there comes a new dispensation. And so, in the book of Revelation, we find that the rebuilt and glorified city of Babylon, that will be the seat of the Antichrist, will indeed be destroyed, and then comes in a new dispensation, the millennial reign of Christ upon earth. Now, coming back to Daniel, we find that there was much jealousy amongst the other princes and presidents against Daniel. And in this life, we have to endure jealousy. We are told that he that would live holy will suffer persecution. And as we've already mentioned, Daniel was one of the most three righteous men who ever lived. And therefore, he indeed did suffer persecution. And these 120 princes, with the other two presidents, conspired against Daniel. But they looked at Daniel's life, and they realized that they could not bring any accusation against him before the king, because he was faithful, and there was no error or fault found in him. What a glorious testimony. And you say, well, that's Daniel. But, you know, God can do the same thing for us. And in Jude chapter 1 and verse 24, it says this, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." God can indeed so work in us that we can be faithful in every area of our life. And we can indeed make right choices because of God's wisdom that he wants to give to us. And so, also, we can be filled with his righteousness, not our own righteousness, but his righteousness. For the Apostle Paul said, having his righteousness, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, not our own righteousness, we can indeed have Daniel as our model and aspire indeed to walk in the same way as Daniel, being faithful in the duties that God has given to us, and also in our own personal character, we can be filled with God's righteousness. Well, they looked at Daniel, these princes, and realized that there was nothing in him that they could accuse him of before the king. And so they realized that the only way that they could indeed bring him down was to accuse him concerning the law of his God. And so these wicked men conspired together. They used the law of the Medes and Persians to bring down Daniel. And how did they do it? Well, they conspired together and they came to the king and said, "All your princes have agreed that for the next 30 days no one may make a supplication before any god except before you, O Darius." Darius, not realizing the motive behind this decree, signed it. And that decree of the law of the Medes and Persians could not be changed, even by the king. And so he signed this decree. Well, Daniel knew of this decree, and he could have easily hidden away and prayed, as was his custom, for three times a day unto God, and no one would have been any wiser. But Daniel was a man of integrity, and therefore he opened his windows And he knelt, as was his custom, towards Jerusalem and made his supplication before the only true and living God. Well, his enemies gathered just below his window, and they heard his prayer. He could have been praying softly, but no, Daniel was a man of integrity, and he had no desire to hide himself or be a secret disciple. He made it very clear indeed that he was following the laws of his God, and irrespective of the laws of the king, he was going to obey God. Well, these princes received just what they wanted, an opportunity to accuse Daniel. And so they came to the king, and they said, "O king, did you not make a decree that no one in your kingdom should make supplication to a god except through you?" And Darius said, "Yes, that's right." And he said, "The laws of the Medes and Persians cannot be changed." And then they said, "But Daniel, whom you appointed to be head of all the princes and presidents, has been making supplication before his God." Now Darius was an honest man, and he loved righteousness, and he loved Daniel very much indeed. And undoubtedly Daniel had witnessed to Darius of the remarkable accomplishments of the Persian Empire in overthrowing Babylon and being a fulfillment of the prophecies that were given in Isaiah and in Jeremiah. And Darius was convinced of the integrity and righteousness of Daniel. And so he sought to save Daniel. But the princes pointed out, "You know, your decree cannot be changed." And so, with great regret, Darius gave the commandment that Daniel was to be thrown into the den of lions. Now, this was a form of capital punishment in the days of the Persian Empire. For the Babylonians, as we've already seen in previous chapters, their form of capital punishment was to throw people into the burning fiery furnace. But the Persians, it was to be the den of lions. And so, this den of lions was kept there for the purpose for those who were sentenced to death to be thrown in. And so Daniel was cast in to this den of lions. And the king closed the pit, sealed it with his ring, and with the rings of all the other princes, that it became clear that Daniel was condemned to die. But Darius said a very interesting thing as Daniel was being put into the lion's den. He said, "Thy God, whom thou servest, is able to deliver thee." Oh, what confidence Darius had that God would deliver his righteous servant. And so, that night, we find that the angel of the Lord came into that pit. And the angel of the Lord stopped the mouths of those lions, that they were incapable of touching Daniel. So the following morning, Darius woke up early. He'd been fasting all night, seeking God to protect Daniel. And then, early in the morning, he went to the mouth of the lion's den, ordered the stone to be taken away, and he cried out with a very mournful voice, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest able to save thee?" And Daniel called back out of that lion's den and said, "O God, O King, he is. My God sent an angel to close the mouths of the lions. You know, as we look into this chapter, we find that it was because of his innocency in verse 22 and the fact of his faithfulness that God sent an angel. But Hebrews chapter 11, that also has a remarkable account of heroes of the faith from Abel on downwards, mentions that it was by faith that those mouths of the lions were indeed closed. And here I want to pause, because this truth, although it's a historical fact, actually has many remarkable, shall I say, fulfillments for our own lives. Faith saved him. And I want to say this concerning faith, that faith is very multifaceted. We are told in Hebrews chapter 11 that it's a substance of those things hoped for, and, if I could say this, the evidence that what God has put in our heart to hope for shall be fulfilled. Now, faith comes from God. And faith is very multifaceted, as I said. We are told, for example, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, that by grace are we saved, and that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. You see, faith is a gift. Grace, it's the unmerited favor of God, and from that grace comes faith, and that faith is a substance. And when God gives us a hope, he also puts within our heart faith to believe that that which he has promised us will be fulfilled. Now, for Daniel, it was a closing of the lions' mouths. And here again, I want to say this, that in our lives, we're going to experience all kinds of difficulties. We're going to experience others who will rise up against us, seek to destroy us, perhaps not exactly in the way that they sought to destroy Daniel, but they want to destroy us, perhaps destroy our work, and so forth. And we have got to live in a way of righteousness so that the way is opened for God to indeed send his angels to protect us. Now, a little time ago, there, just to give you a relevance and to bring out a truth that I trust will be a blessing to you, there was a situation in another country where one of our ministers was going, and he was going to be questioned and criticized by a number of people, and he went with much trepidation. But as we were praying for him, we said to him, look, as Daniel was faithful unto God, and God closed the mouths of the lions, so God will close the mouths of your critics. The result was that when he went before these people that were going to verbally tear him to pieces, if I could say that, they just couldn't say anything. Perhaps you're living in a situation, in a house, where perhaps certain members of the household are very critical towards you. Just a few days ago, I was told of someone who was going to visit an old grandmother. And this old grandmother was very bitter and very critical. And we prayed that the mouth of that old grandmother would be closed. No criticism would flow out, and instead it would be a very pleasant visit. Well, that's exactly what happened. But perhaps you're living with people that constantly criticize you. I want to encourage you to enter into this experience of Daniel, whereby by faith you can believe that their mouths will be closed, their criticism will dry up, and all the harsh reproaches that they bring against you shall cease. We can believe for the lion's mouths to be closed. And then another point that I want to bring out is this. The end of this story is very remarkable, but it's an end that we find flowing throughout the Word of God. Those that lift themselves up against God's people, you know, seem to triumph initially. It seemed as though these presidents and princes were going to achieve their purpose, and they were going to see the demise of Daniel. Well, because of Daniel's faith in God, God indeed preserved Daniel. But what was the end of the story? And the end of the story is very remarkable. Because, you see, Daniel was taken out of the lion's den. Was that the end? Oh no. All those that had accused and worked against Daniel and conspired to destroy him were then, by the commandment of the king, themselves thrown into the pit. And we're told that before they even touched the bottom, the lions indeed tore them to pieces. You see, there is a principle in the Word of God that what we desire for another shall also come upon ourselves. You know, we have this story, of course, in the book of Esther, where the wicked counselor of King Ahasuerus, or Xerxes as he's known in the secular world, conspired against the Jews to destroy them, and especially against their principal advocate, Mordecai. Well, his plot was discovered, and not only did the king reverse the order and forbid the slaying of the Jews, but the very gallows that Haman had constructed for Mordecai, by the commandment of the king, he himself was hung upon those very gallows. And the point that I want to bring out is this, that there is a God who is just and righteous, and he gives every man according to their works. And so these presidents and princes, they had sought the destruction of Daniel by those lions. They themselves were destroyed by those lions. You know, it's said in the Word of God that those that dig a pit for the righteous, they shall fall into that pit themselves. And so, I who have lived so many years and been over 50 years in the ministry, I have seen this time and time again of those who seek to do evil against another. They themselves have had that very evil come upon them. And so I want to encourage you, not that you should seek the judgment of those that rise up against you, but rather that you should have confidence in a righteous God. If our ways please the Lord, we're told that he makes even our enemies to be at peace. And therefore, you know, those that criticize you, those who seek to destroy you with their mouths, well, God will close those mouths and make them even to be at peace with you. But there is an awesome truth that we cannot ignore in this chapter, that God is a God of judgment. And those who've sought to destroy others, they in turn have been destroyed by God. And I remember when I had a group of people, group of men, seeking to come against me and to bring me down when I was a pastor in a church in, oh, thousands of miles from here. But the interesting thing was this. Those very people that rose up against me, you know, God dealt with in a very somber way. In fact, one of them had to come to me sometime afterwards and say this. He said, I have been stricken by cancer. And God has made it very clear that I cannot enter heaven unless you forgive me. You see, quite a different situation. Before, he'd been one of those who had opposed me mightily, sought to remove me. And I had cried out to God, and God had preserved me. But you see, that wasn't the end of the matter. God dealt with that man, and he dealt with several others who rose up against me. And he dealt with them in a physical manner. One died very quickly. Another had cancer, as I've said. Others had economic sorrows in their life. No, God is a God of judgment. And from this chapter, let us learn this lesson, that if we will walk uprightly, yes, we shall suffer persecution. But there is a God that will preserve us during that persecution. And there's a God that will reward our enemies. So I want to encourage you. Just immerse yourself in this chapter and let the faith of God come into your heart. And if you're in a situation where you've got those lions' mouths around you, just believe God that he will shut them and make even your enemies be at peace with you. May God bless you, and may this chapter, this little exhortation, comfort you.